that with it thou mayst blow thy enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy.
It's all here. Fast kicking, low scoring, and ties. You bet.
Here's Higuain. Oh, it's gone in! The first hat trick in 12 years! Ola Kamara has it!
Columbus Crew FC looking like the next Candy Crush saga. Who doesn't love Candy Crush? I do.
Yes! Yes! Oh God, yes!
Welcome to the Massive Report podcast brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company at 424 West Town Street in East Franklinton and available in a craft beverage retailer of any repute near you. And the Old North Arcade at 2591 North High Street. That's a 21 and up barcade with dozens of classic arcade games, foosball, air hockey, and a dope porch. Check them both out. Today is February the 27th, 2017. It is episode 221. My name is Bart Logan. I'm joined today by Patrick Murphy. Patrick, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good.
We're also joined by Chris Landis. Chris, how are things?
Spectacular.
And Alex Stanek. Alex.
Hi.
And of course, we've also got Sam Fahmy holding it down, producing for us. Sam, how are we doing this evening?
Outstanding.
Excellent. Well, it is our 2017 season preview special. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll be recapping the Carolina Challenge Cup, doing a Cruzmas preview, taking a look at the freshly minted ESPN FC MLS power rankings, and go over some picks as well for the preseason from our esteemed panel of high-minded soccer dudes. If you'd like to join the convo, hit us up on Twitter at Massive Report or use the hashtag MRPod. So, gentlemen, Crew FC wrapped up the preseason with a pair of games last week in Charleston for the Carolina Challenge Cup. A 1-1 draw Wednesday versus the host Battery with a goal, off an own goal, actually, from Nikolai Nis, and then a 1-0 win over the defending MLS Cup champion Seattle Sounders FC. With a goal from Nico Hansen and the goosehead from youngster goalkeeper Zach Steffen to capture the Carolina Cup. So the question, I guess, is, gentlemen, is this going to be the first of several trophies that fans can expect the Crew to be hoisting this season? Or maybe we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Pat, lead us off with a recap of the preseason.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we're necessarily headed down the road of championships quite yet, but I do think this is a good start. I think that any time you can see some positives out of preseason, you know, whether it's results or just performances by guys that you were looking at to be keys for you, it's certainly a step in the right direction. I think the Seattle game is the most important in terms of looking at how we're going to see this team perform this year. Both teams put out what I think is a pretty strong lineup, something similar to what you'll see come opening day next weekend. And I thought for the most part, Crew FC was the better team. Seattle got into it a little bit more in the second half, but the first half, Crew controlled most of the chances. I think Seattle had maybe one. Probably should have scored a couple good looks, some nice saves from Stephen Fry. And then defensively, I thought they looked really good, which probably was the bigger question. I think we've got Zach Steffen playing well heading into the season. It looks like he's going to be the starter. And the defense with some of these new additions, plus some of the old guys, looks like it could be stronger. But, you know, again, we don't get too far ahead of ourselves here with no games played yet.
Chris, looking at this team, obviously you get a big, anytime you can beat Seattle, it's pretty sweet, or rather maybe, yeah, Chris, anytime you can beat Seattle, it's sweet, beating the defending champs, but to beat them as thoroughly as it did, you know, 1-0 didn't seem like a fair scoreline for that game.
I actually was stuck at work, so I didn't get to see that game, so I'm going to kick this one over to Alex, and I'll chime in afterward with my thoughts on the other game from this week.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about Seattle?
Yep.
Cool. I love that game. I thought it was awesome. Again, I thought we got to see the defense that we're going to see this season for the first time, and I thought it looked really good. I think we paid DP money for a DP quality center back, and the system that we play puts so much pressure on that defense that we need to have quality back there, and that's what we have now, finally. I was also really impressed throughout this preseason with Mohamed Abu, who I think has the potential to really be a game changer for us in defense and going forward into the midfield and into kind of the attacking half of the field. So overall, I think it was very positive. We won the Carolina Challenge Cup or whatever it's called. I'm not sure anybody cares because, as I talked about last week, it's not a taxidermied armadillo trophy. So for me personally, I didn't care. It's not even like it was a big cup either. I don't know if you saw like the pictures of it, but it was like the kind of trophy that like a 12-year-old would win at like their local soccer field.
It reminded me of the Eastern Conference trophy from 2008. It looks like something that you get out of the vending machine that's not really even silver.
Yeah, it looks like so they sent like some intern out to like the local trophy store with $30 and said, "Hey, get the biggest thing you can get with this much money." And it sucks, but a trophy's a trophy. We're on our way, and we beat Seattle, which means that we are now defending MLS Cup champions. I believe that's how it works. So we take all of their trophies as well. I think that's how it works, right, guys?
There aren't many of those, I don't believe.
All your trophies belong to us.
Shots fired. No, but in all seriousness, I thought it was a positive preseason. We seem to have fixed a lot of the problems that we had last year. And we had a lot of guys who were underperforming last year. And some of those players have shown to be really positive, really kind of improved going into this next season. One of those players that really stood out to me was Federico Higuain, who looked to be back to his old self. And if we can get performances out of him like he played against, you know, the teams that we saw in the preseason, I think this team could really go places. So, I mean, I think it is too early to say, oh, you know, they're MLS Cup contenders or anything like that. Although some of the national MLS podcasts have kind of tipped us to be in that kind of mix. But if they keep playing like this, I think that, you know, they could go places. So we'll see what happens.
Chris, bring us back down to earth a little bit.
That's what I'm here for. You know, like I said last week, and I tried to keep heads cooler about this, preseason, especially in MLS, means relatively nothing. Preseason cups mean, well, nothing. Like I said last week, you were really looking more how our players fitting into the system. I think we saw some really good signs from that. Raitala on the wing-back position, full-back position, looked like he's been playing here a million years. Abu, I was not as impressed. I didn't think he was bad, but he didn't especially stand out for me. A lot of reports are coming out that he's probably the favorite to usurp Tony Chani, which will be interesting. I think that says a lot more about how poorly Chani played than how great Abu played. But, again, I didn't see the Seattle game, so maybe he showed much better in that one.
He did.
Okay, cool. Good. That makes a little more sense then. Some of the things I found interesting were some of the tactical things we saw Greg kind of trot out, particularly in the Charleston match. You saw a little bit of the back three, back five, whatever you want to call it. That was interesting. But the most interesting thing to me, actually, there was a point, Raitala and Awful were the fullbacks. We were still playing a back four. They were the fullbacks, and I think it was with like 10, 15 minutes left in the first half, I could be wrong, they swapped wings. You had Awful go out to the left, Raitala come out to the right, and I thought that was really, really interesting and really, really clever, and I think that if that's something Greg sticks with throughout the regular season, I think that's something that could lead to some really good things for the crew attack, because then all of a sudden, it's not just bomb down the wing and cross. Now you've got, we know Awful's willing to shoot, and if you watch any of the available footage on Raitala from Europe, he's willing to shoot too. I don't think you see it if Francis is out there, which makes me think Francis is probably not going to be a day one starter, because Francis doesn't have the right foot to do it. So that was the kind of standout tactical thing for me, even more than the kind of, you know, trotting out a back three for a little while there. I thought the inverted fullbacks, which was trendy for a little while and has kind of faded away now. If Berhalter starts busting that out, that could be a really, really interesting wrinkle for this Crew offense that's kind of lacked interesting wrinkles over the course of last season.
Yeah, and I know you said you didn't see the Seattle game, Chris, but it happened again in that game. And
yes.
I'm not sure if it's necessarily something they have, you know, like, hey, we're going to do this at this point in the game. But I think it's something that when it does happen, because at least in the Seattle game, I noticed it after a corner, but they stuck, you know, Jimenez stayed on the right and Offal stayed on the left for a couple minutes. So it's clearly not something that they're, you know, panicked about. Hey, we need to get these guys back there. And I do agree. I think, you know, I've seen teams do that with either fullbacks or outside midfielders before. And it does change things up because now you're worried about, you know, something a little bit differently than maybe what you prepared for. Or if you're preparing for it, you have to prepare for a little bit more. So I agree with you on all those fronts. And I would hope that Waylon Francis, as a professional soccer player, would be able to use his right foot enough to be able to do it, but that is yet to be seen.
Yeah, I think your point on Ratala, I think he had a really, like, he even shown even more in the Seattle game, taking a couple of shots, one that made Stephen Fry really die for a save. Yeah, not that kind of shots, but you know what I mean. And actually, as when it comes to switching sides, Miram and Finley actually did that a couple of times last year at various points of the game, just to kind of maybe throw something different at the defense, try to get them to be a little rattled or just be like, oh, who's where and where's my coverage? But I think the most interesting thing is, and I heard a lot of talk about that in national media podcasts, they are talking about how that the 3-6-1 or 3-5-2, whichever you want to talk about, that the Crew showed in the preseason could be a precursor to what might happen if Federico Higuain is not having a good season, or if he is hurt, or if he is, you know, if he's not able to perform a 34 game, and that would be as their quote-unquote plan B, if Federico is not able to play, is to try to play that 3-5-2, 3-6-1 type of thing. But overall, the Seattle game, man, they could have scored several goals. Finley missed a few. John missed a few. Stephen Fry honestly had some really nice saves.
He did.
And on the opposite side, I think Stefan only had maybe one save or two. He was not really tested. He didn't really have to do a lot. And honestly, every time I see the ball at his feet, he's managed to make the right decision. So that, considering that a lot of people that said that his footwork wasn't that great, that actually gives me a good sense of, yes, that gave me a good sense of how this might actually turn out. So I think the only thing that honestly has stood out to me this entire offseason is that the players that have come in, even the draft players, have played really well. And I think that they deserve to be signed. The one other position that I think outside of... I don't think Tony's going to really play much except for certain situations depending on who the opposing midfielder is. I also think that Ratala has definitely won that right back job. And
left back.
The only...
Left back?
Left back. Yes, sorry. I was thinking the opposite way. Left back spot. And the only other position that I feel might be... maybe not up for grabs, but could be up for grabs down the road, is Ethan Finley.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, when you mentioned him a little bit earlier, that's kind of the first that he'd come to mind for me in the preseason in a while, because he's it's like he's not been there. And I don't think that there's really much of a way for this team, you know, up to reach some of the levels that I think that the coaching staff and these players have their ambitions without Ethan Finley having, you know, the kind of seasons that we've been getting used to him to for the past 2-3 years. Pat, should we be concerned about Ethan Finley right now?
No, I don't think so. I do think in preseason he was left a little to be desired. I think that you saw in the Seattle game, he had one chance where he got him behind the defense. Probably could have, you know, it was hard to tell from some of their camera angles, but, you know, probably should have gotten a shot off early. Ended up, I think it went out of bounds for either a goal kick or a corner, I don't recall. But, you know, didn't result in a shot ultimately. And what we saw from him the last couple of years was, you know, when he did get in behind, he either found a teammate or got a shot off. And but the reason I say no is because I think he's very motivated from last season. I think he's always been a guy who's going to work at his craft. I think he's learned a little bit about how the defenses are going to handle him. You know, he's had to adjust a little bit with Harrison Offal coming in and kind of retool his game, play a little bit more inside and attack behind the defense that way. So, but my point, I guess, is that he is a guy who's going to continue to work hard. He's discussed how motivated he is about this season and getting back to form. And while that could mean, you know, close to 10 goals and stuff like we saw a couple years ago, he just wants to play well and contribute to the team. And so, you know, I think that we'll see more from him. At this point, with it being preseason, I don't think there's too much room for concern, because I do think he'll kind of rebound some from the disappointment of last year.
Well, I think that one thing kind of flying under the radar, and I gave Finley no untold amount of crap last year, and deservedly so. He had a down year. I think that a healthy Federico Higuain changes a lot for Ethan Finley. The way Higuain spreads the ball around, the way he spreads the ball into space, and the way defenses are drawn to him, and he draws defenses into the space that creates space for other players, that kind of negative movement almost, could free things up a lot for Finley. And I don't think it's any coincidence that when Higuain is healthy, Finley tends to play better. I think that if Pipa stays healthy, plays well, like we're all hoping he does, I think that could lead to really good things for Finley and for Justin on the other wing as well, because he just creates that space and he has that vision and the ability to move that ball to them in a way that sets them up for success that maybe you don't have if it's Dili Duca in that hole, or even Christian Martinez, who, you know, has a lot of potential but doesn't have that experience. So I think that's something to keep an eye on as well.
I think it was interesting in the Seattle game that you saw, you kind of saw Ethan Finley kind of tuck in a little bit more and go in towards the middle, and you see players are kind of drawn to try to cover him, and then you have Harrison Offal coming off on the side, and he's just sprinting, and he's got acres of space. And I think that's going to be the really strong dynamic to watch, is that Finley-Offal-Pipa triangle. Because one of them is getting loose on that side, and the amount of times that Offal had way too much space and enough time to take across really kind of shows maybe how different their dynamic on that side is becoming versus the dynamic of Ritala and Justin Miram on the other side. But either way, on both sides, I was seeing lots and lots of created space by Pippa's movement and by Pippa's actions that really kind of opened up the play and kind of broke down the defense a little bit, because the defense is trying to figure out who to cover. You got Offal, who can score. We've obviously seen that last year. You've got Finley, who obviously can score when he's on. You've got Miram, and then you've got Ritala, who they don't even know about, and just judging by some of the shots that he's taken, he's probably going to be able to score a few this year.
I also think that the crew just playing better is going to help Finley a lot. Finley is one of the hardest working players on this roster. He is just a guy who wants to give 110% every single game. And I think sometimes that actually hurts his play. When the team is not playing well, he tries to kind of make something happen and maybe tries too hard, if that makes sense. You know, he tries to force something where there's nothing there. When maybe he should pass it back, he tries to play in a cross when there's, you know, four defenders in the way, that sort of thing. I think when the team starts playing better, he's just going to start playing relaxed, like we saw when we had our cup run and when he had that great season. But I think he's the kind of player that you have enough quality there for him to be in a Major League Soccer starting 11. He's a very, very good player, but when we start playing better, I think his mentality is going to kind of get off his own back, and he'll be able to deliver the kind of performances we saw not last season but the season before.
Well, and I think the last thing to kind of close out the Finley talk, I mean, you look at his numbers and, you know, 11 goals in 2014, 12 goals in 2015, 7 and 13 assists respectively. Those are really good numbers for an MLS winger. And I know he's kind of more of a forward that was converted there, but last year, 6 goals, 9 assists, and 27 games started. That's not terrible. I mean, you know, if you can get that production, and, you know, if Higuain can stay healthy and things like that and produce stuff, you're having a pretty good year, I would imagine. You know, for him individually, obviously he'd like to get closer to 10-10, but 6-9 for an MLS midfielder is pretty good. And, you know, I think that with the other contributions and, you know, assuming that they continue to progress the offense as they have, I think, you know, as everyone else said, his numbers will increase. But I do think he, you know, his down season was a product of his own making, not necessarily a really bad year or anything like that.
Well, Ethan Finley is certainly going to be someone that Crew fans are going to have an eye on come Crew's miss as we're preparing for the, you know, season opener. ESPN FC is out with their first edition, their preseason Major League Soccer power rankings. 22 teams again this year for fans as a reminder. For those of us joining, again, Atlanta and Minnesota both joining the MLS this year to bring it to 22 game teams. Up at number one is the aforementioned Seattle Sounders FC that, of course, defending MLS champions and runners-up in the Carolina Challenge Cup, followed by FC Dallas, Toronto FC, Colorado Rapids, and Montreal Impact to round out the top five. If you're wondering where Crew SC is, I have to keep scrolling down here and to number 16 out of 22 teams. And again, two of those teams haven't played in MLS before. So the ESPN FC's words for Crew SC, a revamped defense and a reinforced midfield aimed to fix what ailed Columbus in 2016. Spending DP money on center back Jonathan Mensah sends a message the Crew won't be goal leaking sieves that they were last year. Harsh words a little bit. Pat, I know you wrote about this a little bit on the Massive Report this afternoon. We'll talk a little bit about these power rankings and the words there from ESPN.
Yeah, the first thing when I took a look at these that I noticed was, you know, it seems like they're basing this a lot off last year, despite what the text says for each team. You know, Seattle's number one, Dallas, who won the Supporters Shield, is number two, Toronto was three, and then, you know, as I put in the article, it basically read almost like the standings until you got down to Portland, who they seem to be thinking will take a big jump. You know, I'm not putting too much stock in that. I wrote about it because I thought it was a little interesting just to see what the perspective was on the league, but I think that they, you know, I don't think fans should take a ton in there. If you go through and read each team, they just give a little recap about what makes it sound like each team should be better this year, yet, you know, Chicago signs a designated player and spends money on forwards and adds MLS familiar names, and they're still at the bottom down there. So, I don't know. I didn't take too much from it, but I did think it was interesting that, you know, at least from one national perspective, despite 10 changes in this offseason, you know, Columbus is about where it was last year.
All right, buckle up, kids. There's a bit of a rant coming here. Power rankings, in general, are the stupidest thing in talking about sports. They are just absolutely useless. It's completely arbitrary. Here's what we think because, well, this is what we think. There is no science. It's just random people throwing crap at a wall and trying to get clicks out of it. Preseason power rankings and MLS preseason are the absolute stupidest thing in soccer next to the FIFA country rankings. Second stupidest thing in soccer. But it boggles my mind that anyone cares at all about this because it is absolutely obvious that, pardon my French, it's bullshit. It just is. There's nothing to this.
There goes the clean rating.
And anyone who is upset by where Columbus Crew SC is ranked here really needs to go relax, have a drink, watch some soccer, maybe watch La La Land. Apparently white people like that now. And just chill out, and it's all going to work out. Because no one would have predicted Crew SC to take the plummet they did last year. I bet last year in the power rankings, they were really high. Didn't work out. So no one needs to get too worked up about this, besides me.
One thing that I found interesting with all of these different rankings is there's a lot of kind of variation between all of them. So some people think that we're going to be really good. Some people think we're not going to be so good. And like Chris said, I think that kind of shows that they don't mean a whole lot. Major League Soccer is a very kind of even keel league. If you go down just a little bit, you can go way down in the rankings. If you go up just a little bit, you can win MLS Cup. And it's one of the things that the league kind of prides themselves on, is this idea of parity, this idea that any team can win any year. But yeah, it does make a lot of this, and even this podcast to a certain degree, sort of guesswork. And so, yeah, I wouldn't read too much into any of this, but they are fun to see. It's fun to see what people think. It's fun to go back after the fact and say, oh, well, this person didn't know anything because they thought this team was going to win the league and they finished, you know, third from bottom. But it's fun. I enjoy it. It helps kind of fill this gap that we have where it's the winter, nobody's doing anything anyway, and you're just kind of trying to find content for this league that you're waiting.
Or we can talk about real soccer.
Yeah, it's you know, it sucks, but I think that we will be better than a lot of people think we're going to be, honestly. I think a lot of the players we had last season underperformed, and when they start kind of kicking on this year, I think we're going to surprise a lot of these people who are doubting us.
See, yeah, Chris, your problem is that you want to talk soccer, but that's not what brings clicks to the table. And you know, when you
as
look
anyone
at
anyone who's ever seen my article numbers knows.
Well, you know, but I think it's funny that you get something like ESPN FC's ranking. I'm doing air quotes here, and then you listen to like the Eastern Conference preview from around the league, which is MLS's official podcast or whatever you want to call it, and like they're calling for the Crew to be in the top three, you know, that they're definitely going to make the playoffs, that they're bound to surprise a lot of people. So, you know, you're going to get those extremes. I think it's interesting when you have a league where you can go until 3 weeks or 4 weeks left in the season and you still have a possibility of possibly making the playoffs. You know, you're not completely out of it yet. Any sort of predictions or any sort of assessment of what this team can do, or any team really for that matter, in when it comes to MLS, is thrown out the window. This is a league with a cap. This is a league where there's a lot of parity, and it's not the EPL. It's not Italian league. It's not even Mexican league. There is where you have, you know, you have your top five and you have your bottom dwellers, relegation zone people, you know, and any sort of prediction now means nothing. Yes, absolutely. But is it good for banter and fodder? And when we look at this 30-some-odd weeks from now, how we feel about it? You know, I don't know. Chris or Alex, what do you think?
I mean, I think that especially with the summer transfer window, it's really hard to judge any team until after that because a lot of these teams are going to sign players in that window that will completely change the course of the season. You know, when we go out and we sign Falcao in July, you know, it's going to totally, you know, transform everything. And
Cut his mic, Sam.
Hold on. It's not as fast. I don't have a mute button as quickly on hand.
See, I'm learning the system, Sam. I'm finding the little.
Oh,
the little
you don't worry. I'll get fast. I'll get faster.
All right.
I do think one thing real quick about power rankings, because we're talking about like the rest of the season, and you just mentioned the summer transfer window. I mean, power rankings, and Chris, you made a good point. Like, these are preseason rankings. You know, they don't mean anything. No preseason rankings usually mean anything, but power rankings are supposed to be indicative of, like, that moment in time. So I do think that, you know, trying to project from a power ranking isn't necessarily fair. But, like you said, it's still rather silly, but it is something to talk about here.
Stupid.
Before we
the
get,
word I use is stupid.
Well, before we get to actual games that matter.
Exactly, and here at the Master Report podcast, we do like to hashtag embrace debate. We will leave the talk for, you know, whether we should have relegation in MLS, maybe for a later edition. Well, going forward, I mean, we were talking a little bit about some of the preseason performances, some of the guys that have stuck out. Obviously, we talked a little bit about Ethan Finley, but let's talk a little bit more about some of the guys who maybe grab spots in the starting 11 in the preseason or might have stuck out. I know for me, obviously, going in, you're looking at the goalkeeper position is one of the big concerns going into the preseason, and seeing that battle, do you need to get a new established goalkeeper? Is Brad Stuver able to go in there, or are you ready to go and hand the reins to Zach Steffen? And it looked like after at least those three games in Carolina that they're ready to hand the reins to Zach Steffen. Alex, let me know what you think. What do you think on this one? Who are they going to give it to Zach Steffen? And if so, how long's that leash?
I think it's longer than a lot of people would think if they do give it to him. He's a U.S. youth international. I think it's somebody that the Crew believe they can build around for the future. And if he ends up winning out over Stuver, which it seems like he's going to, then I think they're going to invest in him in terms of minutes and in terms of money and all that other stuff. This is a guy that they think can be a foundation player for the future of this team. And so like Will Trapp and like other players who have kind of been given a little bit more leeway because they were young, I think we'll see the same sort of thing with Zach Steffen. I also think it helps that, you know, you don't have another big name, big money goalkeeper kind of waiting in the wings. I mean, it's Steffen or Stuver, and both of them are somewhat young, somewhat inexperienced goalkeepers. So I don't think that there's another option there that's really kind of going to put a lot of pressure. I think because he's got that kind of U.S. national team label on him, he's going to have the edge in terms of who gets picked to start and then who continues to get starts.
Yeah, I think, Steffen is the guy. I think that the trend of this preseason has kind of shown that. And I think when you have a highly touted young goalkeeper coming in with international experience at the youth level, you know, they trumpeted up his signing pretty big when he came over, and you've got him working under Pat Onstad, who is a legendary keeper by MLS standards. I think that it's a fairly easy fit. I don't say an easy decision, because Brad Stuver has shown himself very capable. He's got cult hero status after the Valencia game, where he almost scored the tying goal at the death. So I like Stuve a lot, and I would have been happy either way. But I think, you know, you brought the kid in to be your starter eventually, and with Steve Clark gone, I think it makes sense. You know, you take the plunge into the deep end, and I think learning under a keeper the quality of Pat Onstad, you know, as a coach, it's going to be beneficial, and I think it could be a good long-term fit. You know, Crew SC have had some great keepers come through, and I think this kid could develop into one of those if he's given the time. And Berhalter has shown, to my immense frustration, all of our immense frustration at times, he is ridiculously loyal to his players. So once he picks his guy, that guy's going to have to do something really dumb to get pulled. So barring an injury, I think Steffens is the guy, and I think it may not go well at first, but I think he'll grow into being a quality keeper.
Yeah, I want to start by saying that I spent all offseason telling people how Zach Steffen wasn't ready and that the starter would be Brad, just because of the little experience that he has, and I would like to take this time to say that I was wrong. You guys won't hear this very often because I don't like to admit it, but I think Zach showed that he's the guy, you know, not only of the two, but I think he looks, at least in preseason, and again, it's preseason, but that he is capable of doing what they need. He's made a few big saves in preseason, which is one of the things that Greg really likes in a goalkeeper. And as Sam mentioned, against Seattle, he played well under pressure. There was times when Seattle pressed him, and he made a good decision. I know one time just went, you know, a simple pass out to just outside the box, but was closed down pretty quickly and had to kind of think on his feet, which was good to see. You know, Zach, when he first got here, talked about how that's something that he'd worked on over in Europe, but he thought he could get better at it. Brad had more time in the system. Well, you know, it didn't take Zach long to kind of pick up on some things, and I think just natural instincts in terms of saves, it's proven to lean towards Zach, and ultimately I think that's what you want from a goalkeeper. In terms of his leash, I think he we'll have a long one, but I think we've seen with Greg that his goalkeeper, and you know, there's only been one, but we've had 3 years of it, whether he's giving up goals or not, as long as he's doing you know, some of the right things possession wise and even not, I guess, if you're a MLS Cup remember, but you know, he's gonna stick with that guy, and you know, there isn't, like Alex said, there isn't someone really pushing behind him except for Brad, and you know, Greg didn't go to Brad when Steve had some bad games, so you know, I think he'll be in there for the foreseeable future unless there's an injury or something drastic happens.
I think in the reporting that you have done, Patrick, or Andrew from the Dispatch, until the Carolina Cup started, Greg was talking about how he hasn't seen anything yet that separates either one of the goalies from the other. He hasn't seen one of them stand out more than the other. And I think that's exactly what you got in the Carolina Cup Challenge, is that Zach Steffen stood out more than Brad Stuver. So he played 5 out of the 6 halves against the competition. And like I said, I think that he separated himself. When he came in, I remember when they introduced him, he talked a lot about wanting to learn and mature under Pat Onstead, and that Pat Onstead specifically was one of the big reasons that he came to the Crew as opposed to going anywhere else. He really could have gone anywhere else. So that's, I think that's a, that was a very interesting point, and this is a good way to see how, you know, Pat Onstead, how that pays off for him as, you know, the kind of mentor and the kind of coach and the kind of, you know, expert that he would be when it comes to training a fairly raw talent by the admission of most everybody.
Oh, and it's certainly going to be big. The goalkeeper, such an important position for this team more than ever, just because of the way that they play this game and how much pressure can be suddenly coming that way against the goalkeeper. Obviously, Steve Clark had his share of brain farts, but I also think he shouldered an unfair amount of blame for a back four last year that, well, I wouldn't maybe go as far as our friends at ESPN FC. They certainly didn't give him too much help on a number of occasions. So it'll be interesting to see who Greg Berhalter ends up trotting out there on this upcoming Saturday. Other, you know, observations from the preseasons and some performances, of course, we've sort of touched on a little bit about Raitala. And it looks like, for all intents and purposes, that he's going to be your starting left back. I mean, did we even see Waylon Francis in the preseason?
No, but he was dealing with a bit of an injury, so that could play a part.
But it'd be interesting, guys, what do you think, to use, unless, has Francis gotten his green card so he no longer takes up an import or international spot?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess it would be one thing to have that import on the bench there behind another one, but still, it'll be interesting to see them battle as Waylon Francis seems like he'd been nagging at that left-back position. Raitala, also a little bit of a danger from the free kicks, though we didn't see too much, according to YouTube, that is, although we didn't see too much of that in the preseason. Looking at some other guys that made a mark in the preseason, or in the case of one, didn't really, Ola Kamara, conspicuously unpresent in all of the preseason games. As you guys kind of alluded to, Pat, and some of your other colleagues in reporting, he's dealing with some concussion protocol issues. I know, Pat, you weren't able to talk with 3G today, but is that something that Crew fans should be concerned with heading into Cruzmas and then just for the season in general?
Yeah, I mean, as Crew fans, I think, have learned dealing with stuff these last few years, especially with Will Trapp, concussions are such a weird thing with how long they can linger and, you know, how you treat them, and every single person seems to be handling them differently. So from what I understand with Ola was he suffered it on the last day they were here before they headed down to South Carolina, which I believe was a Thursday, if I remember correctly. And he came out of training a little early, was just getting food, but some of the other guys were already done, so there was not much thought put into, okay, why is Ola not training? So when he got down there, I think they just kind of monitored him, and I think that's the plan this week. As you mentioned, Bart, they didn't have practice today, so we didn't get a chance to talk to Greg, but we should tomorrow, and that's certainly on the list of things to ask him about, just to see, you know, where he stands, because without practicing for the last week plus, you know, is he going to be ready for the first game, just fitness wise you know, I mean, I'm sure if he's healthy he can at least play, but, you know, is he good to play a full 90, or, you know, what kind of is his situation there, and that's kind of up in the air right now.
If he doesn't sign, like, I mean, if he doesn't recover very well, like, if we're just kind of stuck without him, I mean, we could always sign Falcao.
Yeah, I mean, they could.
You are so going to get your mic muted.
It's preseason, dude. Let me do it. It's fine. He's been killing it for Monaco, by the way.
He did. Just, we just talked just about that.
And we do have a DP slot empty.
Yeah, it's tons true. Of money to throw around.
Well, guys, you know,
I
after
ranted for the day, I can't do this again. Don't make me do it again.
After this Acura deal, you know.
Oh.
You know, you don't know. It's the largest transaction in Cruz history.
Pick him up from the airport in that Acura supercar. I like it.
And an NSX.
Yep.
I'm a black fan. NSX.
Hey, and that does bring up a point that we haven't had a chance to touch on since our last show. The new Crew SC kits, the bananas are back. Fellas, what's the review on them?
Oh, they're awesome. They're fantastic. I have wanted the banana kit back. I am a purist. And, you know, you have to have a yellow kit and a black kit every year. No exceptions, no experimentation, nothing. Just stick with it. I thought the Acura deal was also very nice. I thought that it looks very nice on the kit. It's a very kind of established, nice brand. They're paying us a lot of money, apparently, and money is always good. So, two thumbs way up. I love the shirt. Love it.
I love the shirt. I'm not going to disagree with Alex on the shirt, but I'm going to take a jab at his purist comment. Everyone should go read Steve Cirque's latest little note blog, as he called it, tracing the history of the banana kit. It is a fantastic read. Steve is a treasure. And he points out that we actually didn't originally start with a banana kit. So this whole, it's what we've always been, isn't technically true. So everyone should go read it. It's on the Twitters, on the Crew website. He's a fantastic writer, and we're lucky to have him. Go read
they
it.
Did. They did have a yellow jersey. I mean, it was yellow and white early on, but it was definitely more yellow than what we saw last year.
And we also had run-up penalty kicks and a bunch of other stuff that was terrible. We had the clock counting down.
It was the MLS, Wild West.
MLS in the early days was stupid, and we have made it better, and we should stick with it now that it's good. We should stick with it now that it's good.
It's good now. It's good now.
I will say this. It's you know, it's one of those situations where, just like the crest reveal, you kind of, you know, MLS will put something up on it and write an article, and you know, you go and read the comments, and when all of fans of other teams are complimenting, one, your kit, and two, your sponsor, and the combination of both, that's really good. I think that's high praise. MLS fans tend to be very, very homery. And you know, I think the trend of kits liking other teams' kits kind of really is a more recent thing, but it's still a good thing that you go from having what was conceived by many as the worst kit in the league
that also sold a lot.
That sold a lot, and I think, you know, now think about all the people that didn't buy the four Columbus kits that are now, that were waiting to buy the new yellows, and then how nice the new yellows look. And to be honest, from my talks with, like, front office people, they're even more excited about next year's jersey. They were, like, mildly excited about this year. I think the sponsor on the front really makes a huge difference. But they're super excited about what will be the black kits next year.
One thing you mentioned, Sam, about the logo reveal, I just wanted to plug one of our sister sites, Waking the Red, who does the Toronto FC stuff, did a thing, I believe it was yesterday, on the best logos in the league. And we know that Toronto is not always fond of Columbus, but they had very high praise for for the Crew SC logo. So I recommend taking a read. It's interesting to look at what they say about each logo. So quick plug for one of our friends, I guess you could say, up there.
Definitely, my everyone, friend. Head over to Waking the Red, check out the article, and then leave a bunch of comments trashing their garbage team. Moving on.
Well played.
Moving on. So game numero uno of the season is coming up this Saturday, Cruzmas. We've been waiting all year for it. For Santa Guillermo to come down the chimney and give presents to all the good little Crew fans and Crew girls and boys. So fellas, as we're getting ready for Cruzmas, obviously there's going to be a lot of good stuff going on before that, but let's quick look at, because we've been talking about the preseason, we've been talking about some of these guys who've impressed, some of the new faces, but when it comes down to it, Saturday at 2:00, who's Greg Berhalter going to be trotting out there to start it off? And we'll have Patrick lead us off.
I think you'll see something pretty similar to what you saw last week against Seattle. I guess it was only 2 days ago. I think, you know, if Ola's healthy, I certainly think he's in the starting lineup, healthy and fit. You know, maybe if he can even have a time restriction, if his fitness isn't where it needs to be. But, you know, I think they want him out there. I don't think Adam John proved much in the preseason in terms of being a starter for this team. But other than that, I think you pretty much have an idea of what they want to go with. Without Artur playing in the preseason, I think Mohamed Abu and Will Trapp spots are pretty safe, unless Tony Chani has some reason he's a better fit for this game. But, yeah, I think a lot of what you saw against, both tactically and lineup-wise, what you saw against Seattle last week will be what you see against Chicago. Bridget. Because I don't envision them throwing out the three-man back against a Fire team that you're not sure what to expect from.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's likely to be very similar to what we're all expecting. I think Raitala on the left is most likely. Awful is obviously a lock on the right. Nason, Mensah in the center of defense, you know, all that is kind of obvious. The big question is Abu or Chani in the center of midfield, and all the experts, air quotes and non-air quotes alike, are all kind of pointing towards Abu. Chani obviously didn't do a ton this preseason. He didn't look great, so it's probably going to be him. Obviously, Finley and Miram, health permitting, are locks. Higuain, health permitting, is a lock. And it's going to come down to the health of Kamara. I don't really see too many surprises being sprung, with the exception of Berhalter probably trolling us, like Murph said in our chat, about playing Stuver instead of Steffens after all that. But I think the important thing to keep in mind for Game 1, you know, even though it's Bridgeview, and it's a team that in our heads we hate and we should beat because they were terrible last year just like we were, this team is going to be a work in progress. There is a lot of new... It's going to take a while for this team to mesh. This is not a team that's been together for 2 or 3 years. They're the center of the park and the spine, these partnerships in the center of midfield and the center of defense, and particularly, not to mention a defense and their keeper, these are things that take time to develop, and no one should hit the panic button if things look a little rocky. Obviously, if players are just playing like flaming hot garbage, that's one thing to worry about. But miscommunication and, you know, not being on the same page and somebody zigging when they should zag and, you know, not checking when they should check. These are all things that people should be expecting to happen because it's a short preseason, not a lot of games, not a lot of time together because you had half your back line away to the AFCON, and it's not a time to panic. I think for the first month, maybe even 2 months of the season, you're going to see a real gelling and growing pain for this Crew SC team, and I think it might be kind of an ugly performance on Saturday. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's an ugly win, but no one freak out if it doesn't look pretty.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what Chris said. I think people will kind of rush to judgment too much no matter what the result is. I'm going to be very curious to see what Mensah does because our system is difficult to learn and it's going to take him a while to kind of get up to speed with everything. And to kind of build that relationship that he needs to build with Nico. but I hope that we can get a result. I don't think Chicago are a great team. I think they're improved from last season, but I still think they're a kind of bottom half MLS side. So it'll be interesting to see if we can pull off the result despite the problems. I love Cruzmas. It's one of my favorite times. One of the things that's great about it is you get to try all of the new tasty food options that they have at Mafre Stadium, which is always a highlight. But one player I want to kind of draw attention to on Chicago's roster that I think people should keep an eye on is their new striker, Nemanja Nikolic, who's a Hungarian international. He kind of bounced around teams in Eastern Europe. And he's the kind of striker who can do very well in Major League Soccer. He's somebody who I think could cause a lot of problems for the Crew, especially with a center back pair that is maybe not very experienced playing with each other. There could be kind of miscommunications, and he could be left unmarked potentially. And so that's something to keep an eye on. He's somebody I think who's going to do very well in Major League Soccer. Watch him score 3 goals all season. Now that I've said that, but
good job.
Something. Well, I'm getting the jinx in early, man. Gotta hurt the rivals while I can. But no, I hope that we'll get the result, but this is a tougher game than a lot of people are thinking it's going to be, I think. So we'll see how it plays out.
I think Alex makes a good point that I think both teams are going to be coming out trying to prove that last year was bad, and they want to kind of wipe that out of their fans' memory. And honestly, you know, Chris, you said something about it could be an ugly win, but it could be a win. But at the end of the... You know, when it's all said and done, does anybody really care if it's ugly, if it's a win?
You know, people on Facebook do, man. You should check the comments.
Reddit. Yeah,
like, see, you only won by 4. It should have been at least by 6.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's for them to worry about, and then for us to chuckle at them on our little sidebar chat over here and completely ignore, because it doesn't matter. You can play really pretty soccer and still lose MLS Cup, which we proved last year or 2 years ago. So I think in the grand scheme of things, I don't care how the win comes. I care that the win does come. And to me, that's really all I worry about. As for the lineup, yeah, I think if Ola at least semi-practices this week, he probably starts. Otherwise, you know, if you see John in there and then Nico, the new kid, what's Hansen. His name? Hansen. Nico Hansen.
He's so hot right now.
Yeah, he showed that he might be able to do a thing or two. You know, you might be able to see, maybe we see him come in for John, or maybe we see him come in for Finley, or you know, I could see either, honestly. So who knows? Who knows? He's a hot foot right now, and maybe that's a good thing. I hope he can turn left too.
I find a few things funny about this whole thing. First, I think that it's interesting the way we're talking about this team in terms of like, hey, we know who they're going to start, because when Chris, Sam, and I did the first podcast of the year, one of the big things we discussed was, you know, this team has a lot of question marks and who's going to play where and what formation are they going to play. And, you know, we've only been through preseason, which gives us some answers, but we've just learned a lot, I think, in that short amount of time. And we'll learn more, and these games will matter, and things will change. But I do think it's funny. I also think that this preseason and a lot of the questions that surrounded the team and a lot of the things we're saying now remind me a lot of 2014. You know, people didn't expect much out of this team going to, I think it was D.C. that they started the season against, and they won 3-0. Not saying that that's going to happen on Saturday, but like Alex was saying, you know, or Chris was saying, there could be rust, they're working some things out. I feel like that was the exact same conversation we were having back in 2014, and things came together pretty quickly. So you'd hope to see something similar. Obviously, that season was pretty good, and then the following season was better. But I think that you definitely want to see a continued performance from what they did against Seattle. The way they controlled things and whatnot, I think, would be important. And now the results matter, as Sam said, a win is a win.
Certainly hoping for it. Chicago with, or should Bridgeview. I say Bridgeview rather,
yeah,
with a 5-0 preseason. So, I mean, you know, give them a trophy for that. Great going, guys. So we've got obviously this game coming up, Christmas, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the things to look forward to as we're getting ready to celebrate it. But I want to talk a little bit more. Let's embrace some more debate and manufacture some more hashtag content as we're going forward for this, to look at some of the preseason picks here for our esteemed panel of soccer dudes for this team. What fans should expect from the squad? I've got a couple makeshift awards to throw out your guys' way. We'll throw them out, and you tell me who we expect to see. So first of all, we're looking for Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Golden Boot, MVP, and newcomer / breakout star / most improved player, the under the radar thing that's not actually an award anyone hands out, but something that a player that you want to be able to say, yep, I called it. So I don't know if you guys, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Does anybody have their list prepared, or should we hold off a little bit, maybe move to something and check it out later?
List prepared.
Yeah, that's not how we do things. You just call out the award and we'll rapid fire across the board.
All right, so Offensive Player of the Year, rapid fire.
Murphy.
Higuain.
Chris.
I'm going to go Pipa as well.
Alex?
Yep, Pipa. Although, I wonder if it could be Nico Hansen. I hope he doesn't get caught in the middle of nowhere this time around. I might have to shout it out if he does.
Did you get that one from your yearbook? Deep cuts!
Oh, oh the
deep cut.
I'm going to go
love,
with...
Chris? Come on. I'm trying.
I'm going to go with the obvious Ola Kamara.
And for what it's worth, I'm going with Iraqi Ronaldo, Justin Miram.
Iraqi Ronaldo. Oh.
We're gonna have to use that.
This is an all-time great podcast we're doing right now, guys. Hansen references, Zoolander references, me ranting about power rankings, and Iraqi Ronaldo. Good Lord.
All right. Defensive Player of the Year. Let's go back. Rapid fire.
Nikolai Ness.
Pass.
Did you already forget who plays on defense?
I don't think our defense is going to be very good.
It's going to be Jonathan Mensah.
I think it's going to be Mensah also.
I would stick with Harrison Offal. See him get a two-peat. Okay, our Golden Boot.
Kamara. We can all just say that.
Is
to
that
say,
all,
yeah.
I'll just... Quattro, yeah. Kamaras.
Yep.
All right, the MVP.
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to go Miram again.
Yeah.
This is his last contract. This is his option year. So he's either playing for a big fat contract or a transfer. So I'm going to go Miram.
Better go Higuain.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Higuain. Sorry, big soccer fans, but I'm sticking with Higuain. I think he has a balance back here, and I think he's the best player on our team, and I think he shows it again.
Will Trapp.
And
what?
Okay.
What?
Ooh, we're not going to let
that. Do you
even
have any justification for that?
There's nothing to justify that.
Why? He can't be the most valuable player on the team?
I like it. I like it, Murph. Don't let these guys push you around, man.
He's not going to be a starter all year. He's going to get supplanted.
He's just the captain.
Ooh, that's another thing we haven't even talked about.
Was that
yet.
Made official yet?
No, absolutely.
No. Okay.
Yep.
But I'm making it official.
So you hear it?
You the captain
here.
Now?
I'm not breaking news, but I'm gonna break news.
That's better to break news than to break wind.
But this is going downhill rapid.
So,
is this segment
so
two? Sam?
Right.
Is this segment two?
Quick, our newcomer / breakout / most improved. Who's the guy who's going to sneak up and just wow people?
Raitala. Yep. As soon as I saw the video when we signed him in December, the dude looks like $1 million. You know what? He'll be my pick for Defensive Player of the Year, even though I like him going forward better than defensively. I think the dude looks like $1 million, and I think he has all-star quality in MLS.
Arthur.
We haven't even seen him.
I don't need to see him.
He's got a lot of Instagram followers, I hear.
He's Brazilian.
That's right.
They invented soccer, not Seattle.
Yeah, I think I go with Ritala also, unless like Arthur comes in and like just tears the league up.
Penny and me were talking about this a couple days ago, and this time around, I think I'm going to go with Nico Hansen.
Is he a man from Milwaukee?
In all seriousness, though, Abu, I'm going with Abu.
Somebody's going to get bopped on their head. Good thing people are not actually watching the video of the four of us doing this right now.
I'm going to do this all season, so just everybody can get used to it.
I love the people that are out there that have no idea what we're talking about because they weren't little kids in the 90s or Sam.
I feel bad for Cowtown Ben, who is not old enough to understand what the hell we're talking about right now. Shout out to Ben.
I am well aware of Hanson albums and Zoolander. Well, maybe not the second Zoolander, but the first one for sure.
Oh, it's certainly...
Show it to you. Shouldn't even be talking about it.
Trying to get this back on track. Get this, stop steering this quite off. Stop it right before we get to the ledge. Christmas coming up on Saturday. Christmas Eve, Friday night. Gentlemen, what are you guys going to be up to?
Not Crickets. Going to parties.
I believe there's a, as always, there's a crew union event going on at 4th Street Bar and Grill, the home of Crew Union, and I want to say that usually starts at 7.
Starts whenever you show up.
Yeah, starts whenever you really show up. Otherwise, there's probably something going on at Hen Docks. If you give me a moment here, I'll see if I have any events coming up, but...
I will be at 4th
Street. Even if there isn't anything official, just go and hang out at Hen Docks, and I'm sure that there will be other people unofficially celebrating Christmas Eve over there.
I will be at 4th Street. I assume Bart will be with me, but I haven't confirmed this with him. If you want to come out and argue with me about soccer, which apparently people on Twitter like to do, that's where I'll be.
Well, if you just learned something about soccer, Murph, you might be able to hold your own in these arguments.
Maybe if you'd ever played the game.
I don't know what either of you are talking about.
It's all about the game and how you play it.
That wasn't Hanson.
It is Triple H, which is
my God!
Wow.
Everybody, please forgive us. It's preseason. Nothing's happening.
We're still in preseason form.
What's the title of the book Goshert's doing? This train is definitely crashing. This podcast is definitely crashing.
Well, and let me, as you know, we're already hurtling toward the ledge, let me just give us that one last nudge over. I want to throw a shout-out to one of the new supporters groups that's starting up this year, the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls. Check them out at GCGBAG.com. They've got the best supporters group scarf ever, and, you know, now that I did that...
Wait,
little...
the scarf is real?
Oh, yeah,
this is a
real
group. This is a real thing that's actually...
This is
I thought this was a joke.
100% real.
Oh, my God.
They were present at the Jersey and Acura reveal.
Mm-hmm. Well, Frankie Fahaduk wore the scarf.
There's going to be an article on this. I need to get in contact with them. That's going to be fun.
I can put you in contact with them, my friend. I can put you in contact with them.
Now that
I
think about it, I probably know who's running that show, but we'll get to that off air.
So definitely... check them out and make sure to get down to Crew Stadium, you know, early on Saturday, as well as, you know, have some fun and, you know, stop by 4th Street and heckle Patrick Murphy and the rest of your friends here on this podcast Friday night. But then Saturday, make sure to get down to Crew Stadium.
I believe they're doing a kegs and eggs thing on Christmas. Is that correct?
I believe so.
And Murderers Row, our dear friends Murderers Row, will be at Moffray Stadium at 6:45 a.m. that day. So Murderers Row, So, yeah, well, I mean, it's the first game of the season. Got to let him get into game shape, all right?
So make sure to get down to Crew or Muffray Stadium or whatever it is. It's always going to be Crew Stadium for me. I'm sorry, guys, and I'll screw it up, and you know, hopefully it won't
They're
be...
They're going to pull our access. Get it right.
Yeah,
Erica Kress will kill you.
At Moffray Stadium, and by the way, on that note, this podcast is sponsored by Land Grant Brewing Company and Old North Arcade. Make sure to check them both out on High Street and West Broad Street in East Franklinton. That's for Land Grant, North Broad High Street, obviously, for Old North Arcade. So, fellas, as we're getting here to kind of wrapping it out, let's go with a kind of final thought heading into Cruisemas. Alex, you want to lead us off?
Yeah, sure. It can't be worse than last year, so let's see what happens. And got a good team this year, I think, and hopefully we can make the playoffs and go on a run.
Score for that game.
The Chicago game, let's say, I'm going to say 3-2 Columbus. I'm worried about Nikolic, but I think we'll get it done.
I think it could be worse than last year, just because it can always be worse than last year, but I don't end up thinking it will be. I think they're going to play well on Saturday. I think, you know, like a 2-0-3-1 type of game. I'm optimistic for this game. I haven't watched anything on Chicago, so I could be very, very wrong. But, you know, I until I see it, I'm not buying it type of thing. And I've seen Crew SC a little bit at least.
You know, I think it's going to be, like I said earlier, I think it's going to be a rough game. I think it's going to be an ugly game, an ugly performance. And it could be ugly from both sides because Bridgeview have a lot of new pieces as well. You know, I think, especially if Ola Kamara is healthy, we have firepower to score goals. I think we're going to leak some goals. And so I see this one ending kind of in a ugly 2-2 sort of draw.
I was really encouraged by the Seattle game. And yeah, I know it's preseason, I know it's one game, but both teams were out there with their full power lineup. So I like what I saw from the Crew. And that's missing their primary forward. I'm going to say Crew win this game 3-1. It's either they're going to score a lot of goals or they're going to score one goal. So I'm going to say they're going to win this game 3-1. And really, honestly, overall for the entire season, all I want to see is just some resemblance of consistency. I don't want to see, like, you know, 8-game winless streaks. Whether it's ties or losses, but you know, but yeah, 3-1.
You know, it's MLS, Crew, so there has to be winless streaks.
I guess
8 games is a lot, though.
It certainly was last year. Of course, you know, they're still, I think, mourning the loss of Harambe on May 31st, and then they coincidentally go and lose all those games in a row. For what it's worth, I've got them winning 2-1. I think you'll see a nice performance there from Zach Steffen. He'll pick up his first win, and squad will keep it going. Would this be how many games in a row, Patrick? Would this be against wins or at least a point against Bridgeview?
That is a question I am not prepared for.
I don't know. It's been a while.
Well, they've in MLS play. Yes, they've lost to him in the Open Cup. Obviously.
Oh yeah, there we go.
But let's see. They tied them last year. I'm scrolling.
Beat them on the road.
Here. Oh, they lost to them at Chicago on June 28th.
Okay, just kidding. It wouldn't be.
Oh no, that was the Open Cup.
There we go. So I'm good.
Yeah.
I thought they had a tie and a win last year at Chicago.
They had two ties and a win last year. They won big at home. 2015. This is riveting podcasting.
Well, hoping to you know, keep it going and start the season off on a high note against the Bridgeview Fire and get a, you know, big win to start off the season. Be better off than last season, at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that should do it for this week's edition of the Massive Report podcast. Make sure to star this one. You're going to want to be able to access it at all times. Play it for your friends, grandma, everyone. For our partners here with us, Patrick Murphy. Patrick, you have yourself a good evening.
I will.
Sam Fahmy holding it down, holding the fort down. Sam, thank you for making us all sound good and bringing all these idiots together.
I try.
Alex, I appreciate it as always.
Not a problem. And this podcast is a little weird, and sometimes it might leave you speechless. But I can't. I'm out of Hanson songs. I'm sorry.
And you know, Chris, assuming everything doesn't go to HE Double Hockey Sticks, we'll see it next week.
Yes, and tune into MasterReport.com for my power rankings of all of the obscure references made in this very podcast.
Oh,
that should be up tomorrow.
That is
power rankings.
Golden.
That's
content.
That's the companion.
An annotated tome.
Absolutely. And again, yeah, so make sure, yeah, tune in, listen every week here on Massive Report. Visit MassiveReport.com and also follow us on Twitter at Massive Report. You can tweet your complaints or other better Hanson lyrics to at Massive Report or hashtag MRPod. So for the rest of the gang, this is Bart Logan saying we'll see you next week. And Merry Christmas to all.